Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 38 degrees under fair skies. Today's Monday, February 13th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Almost nothing is immune from budget cuts in the Sitka School District this year. That was the word last Thursday from the Sitka School Board, which took comments from the public on its 2013 operating budget. The district faces a nearly $1.3 million deficit. The school board's commitment of $500,000 from reserves has already pared that down, but that still leaves nearly $800,000 to cut. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
Any budget is an informed guess at how much money an organization will make and spend in a year. But for the Sitka School District, there are lots of unknowns. The amount of money the state provides per student might increase, or it might not. It depends on what the legislature and the governor do by mid-April. There might be more students next year, or there might not. That number isn't known until the fall, really. The amount the city contributes might change, or it might not. That depends on assembly action that takes place after the district finalizes its budget. And a federal bill that sends nearly $500,000 to Sitka's schools might get reauthorized, or, that's right, it might not. In most of those cases, the school board is betting on not.
It's going to be really tough.
Lon Garrison is president of the Sitka School Board. He says the district has faced deficits before and has managed to make ends meet in the past, but that this year, things are different.
We always tend to get there where we need to go, and it hasn't hurt too much. I'm afraid we're at the end of the road where there is a big bump. We're going to fall off that bump, and it's going to be a different set of rules that we're going to have to go by, and we have to make some hard choices.
That could mean cutting programs or scaling back how much the district spends on student activities, among other things. Thursday night's meeting was to solicit ideas on what to do or what not to do from parents and staff. Carrie McAdams has a son in kindergarten this year. She said her number one concern is that class sizes will go up as the money into the school district goes down.
If another teacher is not added to first grade for next year, my child will have a class of 24 to 25, which all of the research out there, as you guys all well know, indicates that for young children, classes under 19 at the very highest. You know, and in Sitka, we've been fortunate that we can have those classes usually under 17 in those early years. So I would really hope that something can be done about that for first grade next year.
A number of parents in attendance Thursday had students in early grades or entering kindergarten. They told the school board the same thing. Do your best to keep class sizes down. The board appeared in agreement with that idea that low class sizes are a priority, but board member Tom Conley says that means the board will have to ask a difficult question. What are people willing to sacrifice in order to fund enough staff for low class sizes?
I am disagreeing with the district's focus on technology.
Susan Brandt Ferguson teaches at Keith Gushaheen Elementary and has children in the school district. Sitka is upping its tech spending by $75,000 next year. It's part of a push over the last few years to improve tech offerings and integrate them into the classroom.
I don't think that that is the best use of our money, and I am loving having the tools that I have, but it's not how I get my job done by any means. It's not how I connect with kids, and it's not how they learn what they learn in my classroom. And I think it's wonderful, but I think when push comes to shove, that's not as important as the people in the classroom.
In the past, board members have said that teachers will always be the most important thing to students' experience in schools, but that improving district-wide technology is a top priority that must go forward. Board members did not argue the point on Thursday night. Attendance at the public hearing was sparse. A handful of people occupied a few rows of chairs in Keith's large multipurpose room. While Garrison and the board appeared somewhat troubled by that, Brandt Ferguson said it could be a good sign.
If people weren't so trusting of what you're going to do, they would be filling the house.
Well, I mean, I certainly take that as a compliment, but I've been thinking about this a lot. And this year, I am more concerned than I've ever been. And what we really need is people speaking out about what their values are and what they value in this community.
Garrison said the district can't levy taxes, so the only way it can get more money is from federal, state, and local sources. He urged those in attendance to write letters to state and federal lawmakers and ask them to talk to the Sitka Assembly, which will decide whether to keep the city's $5 million annual appropriation at its current level. He and the rest of the board will have a chance to do that as well. The board and the Assembly meet on February 16th to talk about the district's budget. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
If you want to share your thoughts on the budget, it's not too late. You can link to contact information for the school board, plus all the budget numbers by visiting our website, kcaw.org. Anthropologists, linguists, and elders will gather in Sitka this spring for a conference of Tlingit tribes and clans. It coincides with the 100-year anniversary of the Alaska Native Brotherhood, the state's oldest indigenous rights association. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld filed this report.
We start on Thursday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
But Sunday doesn't really go into the evening.
Organizers are meeting in person and by phone to put together this year's Klan conference.
The idea is that it's sort of a combination of a down-home get-together and an academic conference.
Richard Dauenhauer is a Juneau-based author, researcher, and linguist, as well as one of the event organizers.
So we encourage both academic participation, but also just folks in the community, and everybody has a chance to kind of get together, and you get different perspectives on things.
The event, called Sharing Our Knowledge, takes place March 29th through April 1st at Sitka's Harrigan Centennial Hall. Presenters include tradition-bearing elders, historians, and anthropologists from Southeast, the Pacific Northwest, and as far away as Germany.
What's unique about this is that for academics, it gives them an opportunity to speak and kind of mix it up with people who are actually living the culture.
Peter Metcalf is an author, researcher, and one of the conference organizers.
The part I like about it is that it's very accessible. There's a lot of very kind of intimidating concepts, linguistics and cultural anthropology and so on, but people aren't really talking down, they're just talking English so that we understand, or Tlingit, as the case may be, but there's very little jargon and people are very respectful of each other.
He says the public is welcome, whatever their background or interest. The Sitka Klan Conference will include sessions on the Alaska Native Brotherhood, which is celebrating a century of work, as well as the Alaska Native Sisterhood. That's a topic of interest to Kathy Kolkhorst-Ruddy, another person helping with the event. She, Metcalf, and Dauenhauer researched and authored a study of the ANB's role in protecting Native rights.
And I learned a lot about the history of the success of the Alaska Native Brotherhood in preventing the extinguishment of Aboriginal title. It was very close. People don't know the drama of that story, so I'm eager that that success of the brotherhood and sisterhood be highlighted.
Other sessions will focus on museums, access to digital collections, archaeology training, traditional art and food, and other topics. Language expert and author Nora Marks Dauenhauer will present at the conference as well as work behind the scenes. She's been recording elders and transcribing their oratory since the late 60s.
That's part of the reason that I'm glad that the conference is happening. I think there's a lot of people who would like to have their stories told.
Klan conference sessions will be videotaped and made available to those who can't attend. The dates, again, are March 29th through April 1st in Sitka. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
You can see photos and read documents from past Klan conferences through links posted with this story on our website, kcaw.org. A Western Alaska lawmaker says place-based education is working. Representative Reggie Jewell, a Kotzebue Democrat, told Juneau's Native Issues Forum last Wednesday that the approach makes sense. Theme or place-based education teaches traditional subjects using students' frames of reference. Jewell cited a math class he and other lawmakers visited last year at Barrows High School.
The issue that they were working around was height, distance, and time. The problem that they were solving was in throwing a harpoon in which you hunt the whales with. What's the time that it takes to reach a certain point? What's the time it takes to come down? What's the distance? Those kids were into it big time.
Middle schoolers compared the density of whale meat and blubber, and elementary students worked on cusbuck or parka designs. Jewel says those students were also very engaged in their classes.
We put some money out there for a pilot project that's taking place in the Iditarod Area School District, because their board's vision was to be and to deliver to students relevant education without losing the expectation and standards of what the education community needed to have.
Other Alaska schools use the technique. A legislative task force last year recommended more schools try place or theme-based education. We've got a link to that report with this story on our website, kcaw.org. A small Fairbanks company is among the finalists competing to develop a new series of camouflage patterns for the U.S. Army. Cryptek, Inc. is among four companies and an Army team in the running. Cryptek has four employees. The three other companies are billion-dollar corporations. Headquarters for the Fairbanks company is in the back room of CEO Butch Whiting's log home near Steel Creek Road. The patterns by the finalists will begin a four-month series of field trials in May to determine which one performs the best. The separate winning designs for woodland, arid, and transitional terrain will be used on a range of items from everyday uniforms to tactical equipment. Sun weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for periods of rain and snow this morning, little or no snow accumulation, highs around 41. Southeast winds 10 miles per hour, increasing to 25 miles per hour this afternoon. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.